This is Iowa Public Radio's Performance Iowa, and we're coming to you live from IPR Studios on the UNI campus in Cedar Falls. You can also catch this performance today on Facebook and online, and we hope you will join us. Good afternoon. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum, and we're fortunate to have five musicians with us today, thanks to the Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival's concert series called Raiders of the Lost Art. And their concerts kicked off yesterday and will continue through Sunday, July 22nd. IPR's engineers are Chris Fenton, Phil Moss, and Tony Daner that are assisting us today. And you just heard a short excerpt from an intermezzo by Kodai, which was taken from Trio 826's recording called Mosaics. And as luck would have it, Trio 826 is part of this year's Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival's Raiders of the Lost Art series. And members of that trio are violinist Susanna Klein, violist Julia Bullard, and cellist Hannah Holman. And Trio 826 has performed on the Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival in 2013 and 14. Other musicians with us today in the studio include pianist Susan Keith Gray and impresario, founder, double bassist, and Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival artistic director, Hunter Cappuccioni. And welcome to you all for joining us in Iowa Public Radio Classical.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you all here, and very shortly we're going to be hearing these musicians performing. But first, just a few words about the 13th season of the Cedar Valley Chamber Music. And Hunter, this has to be your luckiest season yet. Tell us about the scoop about how you came up with this Raiders of the Lost Art Chamber series.
I hadn't actually really even thought about that till now. Yeah, 13 seasons could be unlucky. I should have done like a bad luck composer theme or something.
No. Oh, well.
I didn't think about that. This theme sort of naturally, organically sort of materialized after some works I was looking at and started to realize that a lot of them, especially the one we just did on the concert yesterday, the Mahler and the Debussy, and then on our last concert, this Mendelssohn Sextet and the Schubert Nocturno were ones that for a long period of time, some for just two decades and some for 100 years, were lost. You know, were ones that the composer had written and gotten shelved somewhere and then were brought back to life either by a publisher or by a relative or by a scholar. You know, the circumstances are different, but, you know, that idea of even in the 21st century, every now and then you'll see something in the headlines where, you know, a page of a Bach manuscript was found, you know, behind a painting in a French chateau somewhere. And, you know, and it's sort of amazing that can still happen. And it kind of always makes you wondering what other sort of things is out there. You know, like I'm a double bassist, and one of the things we're always interested in, Haydn wrote a double bass concerto, which has been lost forever. Like, we have like the first two bars, but we don't know how the rest of it goes. But someday it's going to be found in a library in Baden-Baden-Baden. And I'm just sure of it. But anyway, that's sort of the idea here.
Yeah. So you have two official concerts left. Tell us just briefly about those or outline them.
Yeah. So we have a concert Wednesday night, July 18th at 7, and that's in the UNI Gallery of Art, and it's our first collaboration with them. We're really excited about it. It's called LA Stories, Forgotten Composers of the Silver Screen. So we're featuring works between 1930 and the late 1940s, really, feature Eric Korngold, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, and then George Antheil. So kind of American composers / immigrant composers that came here, worked in Hollywood. And so you know their films, like Ben-Hur and other sort of things like that, but you don't really know the composer. So featuring them will be really cool. And then the UNI Gallery of Art is assisting us by featuring some of the works from their permanent collection that are from that time period, some Warhol, Picasso, other sort of things like that are really cool.
And you polish off the season on July 22nd.
Yes, on July 22nd, our last concert is called Opus Posthumus, and it'll feature Schubert, Mendelssohn, and Bruch, three works that were posthumously published, and sort of what the questions that arise from what a composer's intention is when they're no longer with us and their pieces come to light, what they would have felt about it.
So we're going to be hearing Mahler's Piano Quartet in A minor. Just briefly, give us a little background on that.
Yeah, a good example of the theme. So wrote him when he was 16. It was sort of like a collegiate university exercise for him. He wrote a couple different chamber works. This is the only one that survived. It was one that was lost from the time he wrote it, I'm trying to remember exactly what years he wrote it, late 18... 1876. Okay, thank you. Until it was rediscovered in 1968, I believe, or 1964, somewhere in there. Okay, somewhere around there. Okay. Anyway, so I don't have the dates in front of me, but yeah, so, you know, like almost 100 years it was lost, and it's a really interesting, beautiful work. Doesn't sound like Mahler at all, but you can tell he had a real talent for melody and creating textures, and it's a wonderful piece.
Well, we're going to be hearing, performing today, violinist Susanna Klein, violist Julia Bullard, cellist Hannah Holman, along with Susan Keith Gray at the keyboard. Brava. Members of the Cedar Valley Chamber Music performing on Iowa Public Radio Classical. And they presented Mahler's piano quartet movement in A minor. And musicians included Susanna Klein on violin, Julia Bullard on viola, Hannah Holman at cello, and Susan Keith Gray at the keyboard. And thanks for joining us today. That was a wonderful performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, now we're going to take a quick peek and meet the musicians, our favorite time here. So Susanna Klein, who just played that lovely little cadenza for you, is one of the Cedar Valley Chamber Music musicians that's joining us today, as well as being a member of Trio 826. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Susanna.
Well, I live in Richmond, Virginia. I teach at a school called Virginia Commonwealth University. But my favorite state besides Virginia is Iowa.
Great. We love to hear that.
And that's because of the music and the people. So, of course, my good friends Hannah and Julia are here. So we try to play together whenever we can. And the distance between Virginia and Iowa happens to be 826 miles. So that's where the name came from. And I love playing with Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival. And I really just enjoy also the audiences and the people in Iowa. I feel like it's a really close community, really supportive, tight-knit. It's just a great place to do chamber music, which is really all about audience and musician connections in a lot of ways.
Right, and the audience is so close to the musicians at the Cedar Valley that they're right. You could almost turn pages for you guys if we wanted to,
yeah.
But we don't want to do that. So you were an assistant to a famous violinist.
I was sort of assistant. I was in charge of keeping his schedule together at the university. This is before email and electronics, you know. Somebody had to make phone calls and take care of the lesson schedule and type things up in the department and get him coffee, that kind of thing. Roman Totenberg at Boston University.
And you have a special, you just launched a YouTube channel about practicing. I think that's quite interesting.
I did, yeah. Okay, let's put a little plug out there. It's called Practice Blitz. And because I found that teaching at the university, that so many lessons naturally have to be about how to practice, not about how to play, but how to practice, because students spend so much time by themselves in between lessons. And I felt like people need new creative ideas, and for me too, it's been really good for me to kind of develop those ideas. But it's kind of an ongoing project, and I get a lot of help from the trio sometimes when I'm struggling with a little lick. I'll usually ask, "Hey, how would you practice this?"
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and Julia always has like the winning ticket for me.
Okay.
Little plug.
Well, Julia, who is one of our favorite violists, who happens to be on the UNI campus, is one of the Cedar Valley Chamber musicians and also a member of Trio 826. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Julia.
I'm originally from upstate New York and lived for a while in Philadelphia when I was in undergrad and grad school, and then Georgia for a few years. And I moved here in 2000 to teach at UNI, and I honestly never expected that I would be here this long. But I found that I really love teaching here. I love the students. I have wonderful colleagues. And it's such a vibrant artistic community. It was a real surprise to me to find out just how much is going on in the arts community here in the Cedar Valley, and including this wonderful festival that my dear friend and former colleague Hunter started 13 years ago. And I've been playing with it for all 13 years. I can't believe that either. That's in a nutshell. That's me.
So how did the three of you get together as a trio then?
Really probably through Hannah. We all knew each other kind of in different contexts. Hannah and I met when we were both in Georgia for a brief period. Susanna and Hannah met in the Richmond Symphony. I met Susanna for the first time at a friend's wedding who was a Richmond Symphony member, one of my old college friends. And we just all decided to get together and read some chamber music, and it sort of just developed from that.
The rest is history.
It is.
So, Hannah, tell us about yourself. And you were inspired at five by an interesting cello.
Well, my grandmother? Is that what you mean? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually, my grandmother was my first teacher. And I'm playing on her cello today, the cello that she started teaching me on. So I just feel very lucky. I have a lot of cellists in my family.
So do you feel like your grandmother is channeling you when you're playing?
I actually, that sounds weird, but true. Yes, I do think about her a lot when I'm playing. Yeah.
So give us a little bit of background about yourself. And you're currently sort of, you have one foot in New York and one foot in the Quad Cities.
Right. Well, some people say it's not quite bi-coastal. It's one coast and the Mississippi. How about that? I don't know what that is. But yes, let's see. In a nutshell, I was in the Maya Quartet for 10 years. And when it folded, I needed to look for new employment. And so by some amazing miracle, I feel so blessed to have gotten a position with the New York City Ballet. And that was 6 years ago in 2012. So for 6 years, I've been kind of commuting back and forth. I have a house in Iowa City and a pad in New York. And so when the ballet is out of season, I come back to Iowa to be with my son and to play with Quad City Symphony and my gals and whatever. I try to keep out of trouble when I'm back here.
I see.
I don't always succeed. But.
I hope they help you in that endeavor.
Not really.
Well, Susan Keith Gray, you're sort of new to this group. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And you've been at the Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival before with your ensemble.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, the studio feels a little like home from that experience with the Rollins Piano Trio, which I play with at the University of South Dakota. But I really am honored to be back and feel so lucky to have been welcomed into this sisterhood of Trio 826, as well as the Cedar Valley Chamber Music.
So you are the founder and director of Master of Music Specialization and Collaborative Piano at the University of South Dakota. Quite a mouthful.
That's right. Yes. You know, that was back in that collaborative piano thing. You know, it's the politically correct way of saying accompanist. And the idea that, you know, we really want collaborative pianist rights and that, you know, that we're really intelligent and capable and thinking pianists. And even though we're behind everybody else, you know, we've spent just as much time at our instrument as they have. So it's a real skill and a real training, you know, to learn this aspect of playing the piano in addition to having studied solo piano.
Well, it's great to have you as a member of the ensemble today.
Thank you.
And of course, we're going to turn to our fearless leader and a native of Waterloo, Hunter Cappuccioni, who is currently the chamber music manager of the Shepherd School of Music at Rice University, which means what?
What does that mean? That's a good question. Well, the Shepherd School of Music is, you know, I think arguably one of the top music conservatories in the United States. And they have a very large chamber music program. So we have about 140 students every semester who register for chamber music and strings and piano alone. And it's part of my job to work with some really great faculty and developing plans for all of them, putting them in about 30 to 35 groups each semester and coming up with repertoire for them and finding the right coaches and organizing master classes and then getting the final performance at the end of every semester, which for them means performing an entire work, you know. And so it's a lot of work, but it's something that I feel like really fits my skill set, and was a job that just, I happened to move to Houston without work, and all of a sudden, 3 months later, that job just sort of happened to be created, and I was like, well, heck. So it was a sort of a fortunate set of circumstances.
Perfect for what you're doing with the Cedar Valley Chamber. Now, we are running out of time because if you plan to get this last piece
in. I know, we got to go.
You've got to start, and the bass gets to play on this, which is a wonderful addition, of course.
It is.
Yes, and it really features the bass and also the cello, as well as the rest of the ensemble. Everybody gets a bit, and can you tell us, like in 30 seconds or less, a little bit about this work?
Yeah, Joseph Labor was a composer who lived, born in Czechoslovakia, spent a lot of time in Vienna, taught composition mostly, but was also a first-class pianist and an organist, and happened to be friends with a bass player named Franz Simandl. If you're a bass player, you know exactly who that is because he wrote these pivotal method books. And so because it's dedicated to him, it's got a lot of bass stuff in it. It's cool.
All right. Well, let's hear it next on Iowa Public Radio Classical, coming to you live.